Again, let me extend the right hand of fellowship to all of you who came from all across the area today to come to worship with us. We are thrilled that you are here today. If you know nothing else about our church, and this is your first time to come, I want you to know this about OIC. We make every effort to be Christ-centered and to be Bible-based. It's our goal as a church to be a church where you are loved and where you can experience God's love. We make every effort to present Christ as the leader and the head of this church. Let me pray as we begin to look at God's Word. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the Word you've given us. We call it your Bible. Lord, there's so much there. It's the only system of absolutes we have. But this morning, Lord, as we examine it, may we see things that we can apply immediately to our lives. So touch us today, Lord, with your grace, mercy, and your compassion. Lord, we came today because we love you. Those today, Lord, who have come to our worship to experience who you are, Lord, touch them in a special and very positive way with who you are, the God of love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we are continuing our study in the book of Philippians. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And he had started this church, and then he found himself in prison in Rome. He writes this letter from Rome, but he's in jail when he writes it. It's not a very pleasant place to be. But he writes a letter telling them how much he cares for them. There's only 104 verses in the whole letter. 104 verses. And this is our 14th lesson in it. Next week is going to be our last lesson in Philippians. And then we're going to start Galatians. Yatta! I'm ready. I've worked all the way through some messages for November for us. But for now, we're going to finish up the study of the book of Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote. He actually writes this letter in response to a messenger that came with a letter to the church at Philippi. And the messenger who came was a man named Epaphroditus. And I went ahead one time. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I Google mapped. And I wanted to see how far it was from Philippi to Rome. And what I checked to see is how long it would take me to walk from Philippi to Rome. You know how long it would take? 44 days. It took Epaphroditus 44 days to walk there. I'm sure it was a pretty important message he had. He writes this letter back to them in response to something that Epaphroditus also brought besides the message. Let's see what it was as we unfold today's scripture. I think Paul really wanted them to know back in his letter that his love for them was reciprocal. He loved them, they loved him, and this great love affair, calling him the pastor of their church, unfolds. And today we're looking at Philippians 4, verses 10 through 14. I told you last Sunday there are at least four verses in this chapter that I'll guarantee you have committed to memory. I'll guarantee you. We're going to look at a couple more of those today. And if one of these verses or one or two of these verses, I know that verse, you're going to say. And guess what? This is where it's found. So a lot of people know verses, but they don't know the address in Scripture where they are. So the address is going to be found here in Philippians 4 today. So our Scripture text, our support text, is Philippians 4, 10 through 14. Let's look at that. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, Paul says, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. That sounds like one of the verses we already memorized. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Huh? Is that another one of those verses? Yes, it is. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Wow, may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word in his house. Paul addresses this gift that he had received from the church. Basically, Paul was thankful for the gift, not so much for what the gift, that he didn't need the gift, he's already said that, but because he knew that the church at Philippi cared for him. It's sort of like, have you ever received a gift from your child? Your small child brings you a little gift. Maybe he's 3, 4, 5 years old. He brings you a little gift. Yeah, he really didn't need the gift, but you love the gift. Why? Because you love the thought behind the gift. Yes. I remember when I was in about the 4th grade, we had to make clay ashtrays. I don't know why, but when I was in the 4th grade, everybody smoked, including your parents, so we made clay ashtrays. And I'm not kidding you, when I was 9 years old, I was not a very accomplished ashtray maker. Trust me. I brought it home and proudly presented it to my parents. Mom, Dad, I've made you this. I've looked at the ashtray about 10 years later and I thought, why did they not just throw this in the garbage where it belonged? But they didn't. They said, oh, Brian, thank you for the lovely gift. We'll take up smoking just so we can use this ashtray. Anyway, but this case, Paul, he receives the gift with graciousness. Oh, thank you. There's no practical value, maybe. Maybe they send him some cookies. I don't know. Whatever it may have been. But today, I want to show you 3 simple truths that we learn from this passage about contentment. About contentment. If I can, let me define for you what I understand the Bible says to me about what contentment really is. So if you're taking notes and you want to know what contentment really is, this is how I've kind of summarized it from Scripture, okay? I'll read it slowly. Some of you like to take notes. Some of you just memorize things. Contentment is this. Contentment is a state of satisfaction that is anchored to our confidence in God. And that results in a joyful celebration of life. Wow. I'll read that again. Contentment is a state of satisfaction that is anchored to our confidence in God. And that results in a joyful celebration of life. Wow. Wow. Let's look today at 3 simple truths that will help us understand contentment. Wow. Number one. Simple truth number one. Hello. Contentment is learned. Contentment is learned. What are you talking about, Pastor? Contentment is learned. My goodness. I just love our office assistant who makes these slides for me because sometimes I'm surprised when I see them too. But, wow, thank you so much. Simple contentment, simple truth, contentment is learned. Here's our scripture verse, Philippians 4, 10 through 11. Listen carefully. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Here it comes. Not that I have spoken from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Contentment is learned. Contentment is not something that comes naturally. It doesn't come naturally. We are prone to compare ourselves, aren't we? We compare ourselves to others all the time. They've got more than we've got. I want that also. There's a famous couple I remember from the scriptures. They lived in paradise. Adam and Eve. They lived in paradise. One day Adam says to Eve, you know, Eve, it's pretty good here. But you know something? I think we're missing some fruit. Wouldn't it be nice if we had just one more? I know God said not to eat that fruit, but I think we like that fruit. And what happens? Eve's wandering in the garden one day, and she gets tempted. Yeah, I think we live in paradise, but I think I want just one more thing, one more piece of fruit. Wow. It was the downfall of man. We live under the Adamic curse because of that. Sometimes we just naturally, as human beings, tend to complain about anything. We never seem to be content with our lives. We always just want, always somehow to want more or never be satisfied with what we have. You see, you don't have to be taught those things about complaining. You don't have to do something to be content. We must learn some things in order to be content with our lives. One of the things we must learn is this. We must learn to have a new perspective on life. Here's my new perspective as a new creation in God. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. So why am I getting all bent out of shape about anything when my life is really only a vapor? It only goes that quickly. Let me support that. James 4:14. Nah, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Huh? I probably showed this to you before. I'll show it to you again. If you can compare your life to eternity, how long is it? It's this long. It's that long. Anybody want to double your lifespan? You want to live to be 180 years old? 90 times 2, that would be pretty good. How long would it be? That long. But don't we use up a lot of energy worrying about stuff, walking around not contented, when our life is only that long? Only a vapor here and there. I love the scripture. It says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not here. Osaka's a nice place, but I'm not going to live here forever. I got eternity waiting for me. Also, we have to learn, I think, a new attitude. And that attitude that we're going to learn does not include complacency. Complacency is when nothing bothers you. That's not contentment. That's brain dead. If nothing bothers you, then you're having some difficulties in life. Little things just tend to agitate you. That's okay. But don't let that take away your joy. Remember, our joy isn't predicated on anything except our relationship with Jesus. And that's what Paul tells us throughout this letter. I think the new attitude we have must show us that contentment comes from a deepened faith. And that takes time to develop. Yeah. You have to experience some life. You have to have been able to utilize your faith. You have to see how God works and how God loves and how God cares for you. Too often we compare ourselves to other things, and we don't need to. Nancy and I, we are part of a larger group that supports an orphanage in Haiti. And in that orphanage are a lot of children who have been displaced. Their mother and father have been killed, or their mother and father, they don't know who they are. And these children, they live in this orphanage. And we're privileged, my wife and I, to be part of a support group that provides for the orphanage there. And last Christmas, we gave one of the small children there, a 10-year-old boy, we gave him the equivalent of the Samaritan's purse shoebox. The orphanage sent a picture to me last Christmas of the young boy, 10 years old, opening this shoebox. As he opens it, you'd think he'd receive 10 million yen. He had nothing to compare it with because he had nothing. There was nothing in the box, really, except a few odds and ends, some toiletries, a pen and a pencil, and he writes me a letter. He's French Haitian. He writes it in French, and another student there writes it back in English for me, and I write back in English, and then the English guy writes it back in French for my orphan friend, and he writes in the letter. He says, Brian and Nancy, I want to thank you for the toothbrush. Toothbrush. You see, he had been sharing a toothbrush with another boy. He had no toothbrush. How many of you have a toothbrush? Only, oh, not all of you. I have some extras in the back. No. This poor boy didn't have a toothbrush. You know, if we'd given this little box to some rich American kid, you know what he would have said? Are you kidding? This is it? For this young boy, he had nothing to compare it with. He was thrilled. Boy, I have his picture hanging in our bedroom. So every morning when I wake up, I see this face as he opens this little box. Ah. Simple truth number one. Simple truth number one. Contentment is learned. And simple truth number two. Here we are. Simple truth. Contentment is not about possessions or circumstances. Don't let circumstances take away your joy. I've said that about 50 times in the last 14 weeks. Don't let circumstances take away your joy. Here's our scripture text for that. Philippians 4:12. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity, Paul says. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Unbelievable. We had 5 kids in our family. I don't know how big your family was, but I had 2 brothers and 2 sisters and 2 parents and 3 cats and 1 dog. You know something? My father had just a mediocre job. And we didn't know we were poor. It was kind of fun, really. One time I was about maybe 10 years old myself. I said, Mom, are we poor? And my mom said, not compared to some starving child in Haiti. Okay. I guess we're not poor. It was kind of fun growing up that way. It took away any expensive tastes I might have. So, you see, worked out good for me. Contentment. It's not based on possessions or circumstances. There was a king. Wow. He was very discontented with life. He was anxious about everything. I can't sleep at night, he says. I can't even think straight. I am so discontent. So he calls in his wise men. The wise men come in. Oh, sire, what can we do for you? And the king says to the wise men, he says, look, I am very discontented. I'm the king, but I'm not happy. So one of the wisest of the wise men says, I know the solution. I've got it. Oh, what is it? He says, this is what we must do. Let's search the kingdom. Let's find a man who is content. This is what we will do. We will find him and we will get his shirt. And king, we will bring his shirt back and you will wear his shirt for 1 day and 1 night and then you will be content. And the king said, that sounds like a good plan. Wow. He sent the wise men out to the streets to find this contented man. Wow. Days went by. Weeks went by. The king was still very unhappy. He would look up from the castle. Oh, please come back. Finally, after many months, the wise men came back. Wow. The king welcomed them to the throne. Come, guys. Okay. Have you found such a wise man? Yes, sire. We have found a contented man. Good, good. Where's his shirt? And the speaker said, he didn't have a shirt. He didn't need a shirt for contentment. You see? Let me give you another verse. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. You see, if our contentment is found in our relationship with God, that's all we really need. It's a means of greatness. It's a fabulous thing to find our contentment in God and not worrying about possessions or circumstances. It's very difficult to be content when life is not going your way. Has anybody ever in the history of your life ever had a few days or maybe a month or a week or so when you just had things not going perfectly your way. Wow, the entire hold it, I've got two who admitted it. All right. Yeah. Almost all of us have these little bumps along the way when things aren't going as smoothly as we would like them. And sometimes we find those circumstances difficult, and we find it difficult to find contentment. But remember, contentment is not found in circumstances. Contentment is found in our relationship with Jesus. Amazingly, the same holds true when everything may be going. Has anybody had any moment in their life when things were going very well? Four of you, that was good. 4-2 is the count now. Okay. Yeah. We all have moments in our life when things are going great, don't we? You know what we tend to do when things are going really well? Unfortunately, sometimes we forget about God. Yeah. Don't. Because circumstances are not where our joy is at. Our joy is found in a relationship with Jesus. You know what happens sometimes when we get feeling really well because we have all the stuff we need? We have to be careful that we don't look down upon people. You ever had people look down upon you and look at you like you're not worth much? I'm not going to hang around with you. Yeah. Does it make you feel good when somebody looks down upon you? I used to play golf quite a bit. I'm not a good golfer. You know something? I would go to the golf course and want to line up and play with another three men so we'd have a foursome. But people knew I wasn't a good golfer, so many people would wait for a better player to come than me. I didn't feel very good. I finally had to wait till somebody come who didn't know who I was, and then they would say, oh, let's have that man play with us. It wasn't so bad. I did my very best. I felt badly, though, when they didn't want me to play with them. Remember, what goes around comes around. So when things are going very well, when we look down upon people, let's be careful. When things are going very poorly and we need help, that's okay. But our contentment, our joy is not found in what we have in our circumstances. Let me just show you another verse here, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. So when someone looks down upon you, God will complete the circle. If he sows discontent towards you, God will complete the circle. This man, he will get taken care of by God, and God will bring the truth to him. So, simple truth number one, contentment is learned. Simple truth number two, contentment is not based on possessions or circumstances. Simple truth number three, if you're taking notes, contentment comes from learning to appreciate what you have in Christ. Our scripture text for that, Philippians 4:13-14. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I'll say it again. Our contentment is anchored in our relationship with Christ. Can I give you real quickly here three things that I appreciate about my personal relationship with Jesus? You ever buy a nesting doll? You know what a nesting doll is? A little doll. It's kind of made out of wood. You take the top off, and there's another doll inside. You take the next, there's another doll inside. Well, this part of the message is kind of like a nesting doll. I've given you the big message, but we're looking. There's another little message inside here. So let's call this the nesting doll message. Three things you should think about. Three things. This is kind of a two-minute message inside. Three things I appreciate about my relationship with Jesus, and that's why I have joy. First, I appreciate his grace. Know what the circumstances are, no matter what they are, I know I'm getting more than I deserve. I deserve eternal punishment. I deserve to be dead in my sins. But God loves me so much that he sent Jesus to die for me. I'm saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. God presented in grace what I didn't deserve, and I received Christ by faith. Secondly, I appreciate all the promises God gives me. Here's one of the promises. I have a place in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14. I got a mansion waiting for me in eternity. Wow. Here's another promise. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. Here's another promise. He is the provider of all my needs. God is called Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision. Here's another promise. He will guide me in the truth. Here it is. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The truth of God's word guides me. This is the truth. This is the only system of absolutes we have. It's right here. I thank God for that. Here's the third thing I thank God for in my relationship with Him. Jesus calls me friend. He calls me friend. Wow. Let me back that up. John 15, 15, I think, is coming up next. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. Here's Jesus says this, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is our friend. Wow. Ever go through life and think you didn't have a friend? We have a friend. My college roommate and my best friend in high school, and him and I were calling, he was an only child, kind of a lonely guy, very nice. So when we were in college, I said, well, let's go to the gym and we'll check out a football and we will throw the football with each other. Kind of fun, normal things. And as we were going home from throwing the football, he said, Brian, he said, I'm an only child. He said, when you said, let's throw the football together. He said, when I was a boy growing up, when I threw the football, there was no one to catch it. I had to run over and get it and throw it back. And then go and get, I had no friend. I had no brothers to throw the football with. Yeah. It's sad. It stuck home with me. I'm not an only child, so I had to fight my two brothers for the football so that I could throw the football, but it worked out okay. Jesus calls me friend. Let me conclude this morning. Here's a couple of final suggestions for you. Remember, contentment is not something that we have naturally. It is learned. Contentment is not about possessions or circumstances. Contentment comes from learning to appreciate what we have in Jesus. Let me give you a couple of final suggestions for finding and maintaining your relationship and your contentment in Christ. Here they are. First, stay completely in the present. Stay in the present. Today, October the 12th, stay here today. Don't move backwards. Don't move forward. Stay here today. Too many times in our lives, we lose joy by dragging around the past with us. We drag around all the mistakes we've ever made and we feel very poorly. We cannot stop. Live today. Or sometimes we forecast problems for the future. Oh no! Next Wednesday, I have this big exam, this big test. Needless anxiety. There's a term for it. If you want it, you can Google it. Here it is. It's called GAD. G-A-D. GAD. It's called Generalized Anxiety Disorder. Look it up. See if, and there's a little test you can take when you're in there. I didn't bring the test with me, but I thought sometimes it would be a good idea for you to take the test if you are overwhelmed with anxiety and tension and stress and a lack of contentment. GAD, G-A-D, Generalized Anxiety Disorder. In other words, you forecast problems with any upcoming scenario in your life, and you cannot enjoy the present day. Stay today. Don't worry about next week. And don't drag on what happened before. There's a cure for generalized anxiety disorder. I found it in the scripture. Here it is. It's coming up. Here's the cure. Here it is. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Wow. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Let's live today. Yes. Let's live today. Secondly, the first one, stay completely in the present. Secondly, remember that material things are given as tools for us to use, not just for our pleasure. Let me back that up. Luke 12:48. For everyone who has much, given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. So if God has given you much, guess what? God expects. How many drove a Maserati to church this morning? Nobody. Okay, well, you didn't get that much then. If God has given you much, what does he expect you to do with that? He expects you to give much back. You see, there's a lot of people who don't have much, like the orphan boy in Haiti. He doesn't have anything. He didn't have a toothbrush. So who has much, and that's most of us, we should give much back. Yeah, it'll be even, and God will be happy. Wow. Let me conclude by saying this. There is only one road that leads to contentment. And that road is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to eternity in heaven unless they have come by me. There is only one road to contentment, and that is Christ alone. Let me give you, if you're here today and you're saying, I don't know the way to Jesus, Pastor Brian, help me. Let me give you four verses. I'll give it to you in just a couple of minutes. Here we go. It won't take long. First, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? There's 100 or so people here in our sanctuary this morning. Every one of you sinned. Every single one of you. There's a couple I look at out there. I'm not sure if you've sinned yet, but I guess you have. Yeah, sure you have. All have sinned. You can't get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm getting out of bed this morning and I am not going to sin. That would be not trusting God. God knows you're going to sin. He wouldn't give us 1 John 1:9. If we ask forgiveness for our sins, he'll forgive us of the sins. All of us have sinned. Number two, Romans 5:8. Even while we were sinners, God demonstrated his love to us by sending Jesus to die. We're all sinners. Even though we were sinners, God loved us enough to send Jesus. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Romans 6:23. But the wages or the results of sin is death. In other words, if we continue in our sin, we are destined to die in our sins and to go to hell. But, remember the second part of Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. He sent Jesus for me. We all sin. Even though we were sinners, God still loved us. He sent his Son to die. But if we continue in our sins, we're destined to die Here's the fourth verse. I promised you four of them. Romans 10:13. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know you're saying to yourself, Pastor Brian, that sounds too simple. We're sinners. God sent His Son to die for us. If I don't acknowledge my sin and ask Christ to be Lord, then I'm going to die in my sins. God will bring you conviction about your sins. And if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Wow. Wow. We live in a country, Osaka, Japan, in the city of Japan. We live in the city in this country where 1%, maybe 1.5% of the population are Christian. That means 98.5% of the people we will pass on the streets today are not going with us to heaven unless we do something about it. If you know someone who is not saved, give them those four verses. Romans Road is called. There's more to Romans Road than that. I don't want anyone today to leave without understanding that God loves you. He sent Jesus to die. After our service is finished, we're going to have something. We have it the lift in prayer at the back there. If you want more information about how to become a Christian, our counselors are there. They're waiting for you. They will share the good news of Jesus Christ with you. And you'll discover this. Our joy is found in Jesus. And circumstances and possessions don't matter that much anyway. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you. We ask, Lord, a sense of your presence with us, Lord, even as we consider our relationship with you. Lord, if we've been tying our contentment and joy to things and stuff and possessions and circumstances, Lord, we've got it all wrong. So, Lord, regardless, let us see the biggest of the big picture, that eternity is ours and we're going to live there forever. We are citizens of heaven. We only live here as a vapor. So I pray, Lord, a special sense of your presence. Touch those, Lord, who need you. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.